Hey, good morning, church. Pastor Dale here. It's good to be with you for worship this morning. I do hope that you're doing very well today, and I'm so glad that we can come together again for this time of remote worship. If you are connecting with us today, let us know you're watching. We love it so when we hear from folks and who you're with as well. Let us know their names. It helps us with our attendance. But it's good to know who's watching because that helps us in our understanding and our experience of the faith community. We can picture those sisters and brothers watching. And if you're watching from a distance somewhere, let us know where you are. It's fun to hear where you're worshiping from as well. If you have not heard, right off the bat here, I want to let you know that we are planning a sanctuary regathering time for August 23rd. So our hope is to provide both a meaningful and a safe worship experience here in the sanctuary again on August 23rd. That's what we're working on. And as you can imagine, it takes quite a bit of energy and time to make that happen well. But do look for new information coming out on that shortly. In the meantime, I want you to know that Northern Waters District picnic is on for this evening. We'll be out at Pitt Spitters Park, and if you got your tickets ahead of time, please come on and be a part of that. We look forward to a fun and safe time together. We'd also say that the Dialogues on Race class continues, and if you haven't been a part of that and you'd like to, you can have access to that Zoom meeting through our website, or just call the church office, and we'll be glad to help you get connected with that. Would also encourage you to sign up for our upcoming fellowship gatherings. I know many of us are eager to reconnect as church community, and that certainly has been a challenge during this time of COVID, but we think we've offered some fun and safe ways to do that. So some of the gatherings include hikes and bike rides, socially distant outdoor cookouts, online church watch parties, picnics, and a lot more. So please go to the church webpage. You can find more information there, and I do hope you'll sign up for one of those good times. Lastly, I am so excited this morning to be able to announce that Reverend Kenitha Bingham Sy is our preacher this morning. Kenitha is a clergy member of the Michigan area of the United Methodist Church, and is currently serving as the Chief Connectionals Ministry Officer of the United Methodist Church. In her role, Kenitha provides leadership for the Connectional Table as it seeks to discern and articulate a vision for the worldwide church and steward that mission, that ministries, and the resources of the denomination. And while she works out of Chicago, Kenitha and her family live in East Lansing, Michigan, and I know she'll say some more about herself and her family during the message today. But in these challenging times, we're so blessed to have Kenitha with us to offer her message on Shaped by Hope. So it's good to be with you again, and let's join our hearts and come together for worship.
Please join me in the call to worship. We're here to worship a remarkable God, for the love of God welcomes us. The grace of God awaits us. The joy of the Spirit emboldens us. So don't come as weary servants. Come as the truly free. Don't come as beggars. Come as those who are already heard. Don't come as wedding crashers. Come as invited guests. Don't come as the outsiders. Come as much wanted children. Come as the joyful. Come as the eager, come as the recipients of amazing grace. For in this hour, the love of God emboldens us. The grace of Christ redeems us. The joy of the Spirit uplifts us. Welcome.
Hey kids, greeting. Pastor Chris here. And you big people can listen in too, but I really like to have this moment to address our fabulous kids in the congregation. I imagine, like me, you've been able to get outside and hike some trails, maybe with your family, bike some places. It is so beautiful. No one has to tell us that up in northern Michigan here in the summer. But I've been noticing, have you, that people leave litter and trash on the side of the road and the ditch, sometimes on the very walking trails. And it made me think of a Bible verse that I was reading in my morning devotions that says, the trees of the field will clap their hands praising God. Isn't that kind of an interesting thought? You know, trees clapping their hands or clapping their leaves together. Another way to say that is all of God's creation is praising God and rejoicing that God loves all of creation. So doesn't it make sense that we want the creation to stay as clean and in good a shape as it can possibly be? And certainly litter has no place. Well, when I walk my dogs in the morning or evening, I try to look for trash along the road. And gosh, can you look at some of the stuff I keep finding? You know, cans, water bottles. I don't know why people throw water bottles. Hey, look at this. A returnable bottle. Get a little bit of money with that. All sorts of things that are trash on the road. I try to wear a glove, you know, put a glove on just so you can kind of stay clean and not let germs get on you. But I challenge you, kids, that you too could help God's creation rejoice by picking up litter also. Maybe you already do that. I think a lot of us try to be aware that God's good earth needs to be taken care of. But it's just on my mind lately, as so many people are using the trails and you see stuff outside. I have a goal that every time I go on a walk, I try to pick something up, even just put it in my pocket that's trash and throw it away later. When I do that, I'm honoring the creation God has made. Do that, and if you let me know what kind of trash you pick up, maybe we could do a contest sometime. God bless you. Enjoy God's incredible, beautiful earth, and let's keep it clean.
The Sunday prayer. If you're like me, you might tend to watch the Sunday prayer from home. I invite you to join me by bowing your head, closing your eyes for a few moments, while we intentionally let go of all that is around us, and together we settle into a connection with God, with the other, with the Spirit that unites us all. Creator God, we come this day as your children, filled with appreciation for the amazing gifts of summer, filled with distress over the fear and chaos all around us. We are here because we need to be, because we long to hear your voice of reassurance in the midst of so much we can't control. Come to us, God of daily miracles. You visit us each morning in sun shimmering through the trees, in field daisies stretching upward. You whisper to us in ripening tomatoes clustering on the vine, in the burst of sweet cherries from our orchards. Despite our anxieties and fear, despite the palpable unrest throughout our country and around the world, the river of life still flows in abundance, and you remind us you have not left us alone. You know us. You know our predicament. The pandemic has changed so much, our routines, our work, our together time with those we love. In this time of off balance, open us to what might be new, to fresh insights and discoveries, to new attitudes and actions. Divine Healer, hear our prayer for those in crisis today, those in our church family and beyond who are recovering or preparing for surgeries, those whose families are dealing with the unrelenting virus. Some are gravely ill, some riddled with anxiety. Some must work to keep life moving, while others have lost work and face uncertain futures. Our humanity seems so glaring right now, our fragility so clear. We need you in these times, Divine Comforter. Gentle us with your presence. Calm our anxieties with your whispers. May we hold each other in prayer and reach out in any way we can to provide support. Spirit of love and justice, hear our prayer for our country. It seems like daily we are forced to face the realities of injustice, violence, and fear. Nudge us to move beyond what is comfortable. Guide us to new learning and understanding. Energize our hearts, our hands, our voices to bring about justice as you imagined, justice rolling like waters. Not just for those of us born into advantage, but for all of your children so lavishly loved. Loving Spirit, soften our armor of doubt and overwhelm. Call us to our own summer of growth, where we're nurtured to bud and flower into wholeness again and again. May we live each day as sacred time. May we touch the soil and sand beneath our feet as holy ground. Remind us that despite the upheaval across this globe, the summer sky is still painted a brilliant blue. The deep, clear waters that surround us continue to roll to shore. The fiery sun splashes all living things and slips each night into the horizon. You love us. You actually love each of us. No matter where we find ourselves, you have already been there. On every path we walk, you are right beside us. There is not a moment when you are not a part of us, in us, as close as the air we breathe. We bring our gratitude, our fears, and our longings to you in the name and the spirit of the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, friends. I'm reading from Psalm 130 from the NRSV. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was a little girl, I used to go to the Harlem Theater on 12th Street on the east side of Austin, Texas. It was always a double feature, a Dracula movie and then King Kong. Popcorn was a dime, and my brothers and I would share. One huge Hershey's chocolate bar was all of 5 cents, and we would relish each little square. I loved the movies. I loved the chocolate. I loved the smell of the hot buttered corn. I thought that the Harlem Theater was the best and only movie theater in town. I was wrong. It was some years later that I realized it was not. It was just the only movie theater in Austin where Black Austinites could go. Everything along the strips of East 11th and 12th Streets in East Austin was that way. The King Tears Mortuary was the only funeral home that would serve African Americans. The cemetery on 11th and Chacon was a burial ground that was segregated by race. Austin's 1928 master plan had created what they then called the Negro District that was still in effect in my childhood, a color line that had long been established by law. The history of America's original sin of racism is written into my history. It is written into the things that happened to me as a child and into experiences that I have had as an adult. It is written into all of our histories. The recent murder of George Floyd, in front of whose memorial I stand here in Lansing, certainly makes that clear. That the history of racism is written into our experiences, written into our communal psyches. It was certainly written into my psyche when I watched the video of George Floyd being murdered in a slow 8 minutes and 46 seconds. When I watched that video, I cried out like so many others around our nation and the world. I cried out like the psalmist in 130. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Out of the depths of despair, I cry. Out of the depths of hopelessness, out of the depths, we all cry out, how long, Lord? How many George Floyds? We know the history, friends. We know about Africans brought over in the bowels of slave ships. We know about the rapes and the lynchings. We know about the story of Emmett Till, murdered in 1955, shot, his body mutilated and thrown into the Tallahatchie River. We know about Emmett's mother, Mammy Till, who insisted that there be an open casket at his funeral so that all the world could see what they had done to her 14-year-old child. Photos of Emmett's mutilated and swollen body were printed in newspapers around the country. Those images helped to galvanize the cry of a nation and fuel the activism of the civil rights movement. Out of the depths, O Lord, we cry, and we are still crying out. We are crying out for Trayvon Martin, who was just 17 years old. He had gone to get Skittles at the store, and on his way back, he was shot by a white vigilante. We cry for Tamir Rice, 12 years old, shot down by police. We cry out for Michael Brown, for Laquan McDonald, Sandra Bland, Freddie Gray, and Eric Gardner. It was Eric Gardner who first gasped the words, I can't breathe. We cry out, O Lord, for Breonna Taylor. she was asleep in her bed when police rained bullets down upon her body. We cry for Ahmaud Arbery. He was just 25 years old, out for a jog when he was chased and cornered and shot by those who are warped by racist hatred. Out of the depths, O Lord, I cry to you, Lord, hear my voice. The psalmist who spoke these words was not asking God nicely, friends. Nowhere does he say, please. In this passage, the psalmist demands the attention of God. Old Testament theologian Walter Brueggemann tells us that this psalm is a prayer. But as a prayer, it is, according to Brueggemann, an act of inordinate boldness. He calls this psalm a cry that penetrates the veil of heaven. Friends, I know that you at Central are in the midst of a series about shaping the good life. You are considering about how your lives are shaped by words, by how you spend your money, by how you spend your time. Have you ever considered that perhaps we are also shaped by prayer? Sometimes we think that our prayers are primarily about moving God, but what if our prayers were really about shaping us? What if we allowed our prayers to shape us? What if we allowed this psalm, this 130th psalm, as a prayer to shape us? If we were to do that, if we were to allow ourselves to be shaped by this prayer in Psalm 130, then we would have to allow ourselves to be shaped by confession and forgiveness inferred in this psalm. Indeed, the psalm as a prayer moves from demanding to be heard by God to a prayer of confession. The psalmist clearly sees his sin and iniquity, and he cries out, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, who could stand? If we are to be shaped by that kind of prayer, then we have to be shaped by that kind of honest confession. That means that we would have to confess that we have never lived in a post-racial America. We live in an America that continues to be marked by the original sin of racism. We live in America that has been poisoned by the idea that there is a fundamental difference between God's children and that some of God's children deserve life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and some of God's children do not. This basic reality is evident in so many things right now. It is evident in the toll that COVID-19 is taking on Black and Brown and immigrant communities. It is evident in the relative national complacency about this toll. It is evident in the number of Black and Brown people who are warehoused in prisons and the dependence of our societies on the prison industrial complex as an economic plan of growth. It is evident in the numbers of Black and Brown people who are killed by police, sometimes for no reason. If we are to be shaped by this psalm as a prayer, we must allow ourselves to be shaped by the confession in this psalm. But we must also allow ourselves to be shaped by God's grace and forgiveness. The psalmist does. The psalmist opens the door to mark iniquities, but then notes that God does not. The psalmist knows the fullness of human sin, but also knows the depths of God's forgiveness. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you so that you may be revered. This forgiveness the psalmist is talking about is a gift. It is undeserved and unmerited by anything that we do because it is grounded in the grace of God. As Paul tells us in Romans 3, since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, they are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The psalm calls us to confession, then assures us of God's forgiveness and pardon, a pardon grounded in grace. Then the psalm points us to hope. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord. O Israel, hope in the Lord. With him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. We can have hope for the redemption of this world because of the action of God in our lives. We are not the source of our hope. God is the source of our hope. And we must wait for that hope to be fully realized in our world. We must wait expectantly like people waiting for the rising sun at dawn. What is the hope for which you wait, friends? My hope is that there would be neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, gay nor straight, but that we would all be one in Christ Jesus. My hope is that we would love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our mind, and soul, and then we would love each other, our neighbor, as ourselves. There's a man named Ray Buckley. He is a Native American United Methodist from Alaska. He is a traditional basket maker, and he's a poet. He shares his hope about beloved community in an essay in which he writes these words. In a traditional stadium, I would stand in front of you so that you were able to see my face and my person. I would dress to honor and respect you, but choose not to be more than you are able to be. I would say to you, I am standing with you. There is nothing between you and me. I am choosing that there is nothing between you and me. In this moment, for this day, we will call each other standing with nothing between. That is my hope, friends. What is your hope? What would we be and what could we do if we were to allow our hopes for the world to shape us like an emboldened prayer? Amen.
I do want to thank Kenitha for her hope-filled message this morning. And I also want to take a moment during this time of offering to thank you for supporting the many hope-filled ministries here at Central Church. Speaking with our finance secretary, Beth Hines, recently, Beth reported to me that while June giving was a little bit down, you have rallied in July, and we've had some great offerings in July. So again, just thank you for your consistent giving to support the good ministry that continues to happen here at Central Church, even as we pray for that day when we can do that again in all its fullness and we can be together.
Oh.
Friends, I am standing in front of a mural that was created as a memorial for George Floyd. It was painted by Flint artist Isaiah Latimer. As you can see, this mural has been defaced. That points us all to the work, to the waiting, and to the prayer we must continue to engage. As you go forth from worship, may the Lord bless you with emboldened prayer. May the Lord shape you by the prayers of confession and by assurance of your pardon and forgiveness. May the Lord steep you in God's grace, and may the Lord give you hope. Go in peace. Amen.